I want to continue the thought there in the scripture we just read there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. This lesson is about doing the will of the Father. And we read there, Matthew 7, verse 21, says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Who wants to go to heaven? I hope everyone here wants to. That's part of our purpose to assemble here together, is to prepare us for the day of judgment. As we sing these songs, as we study these words, as we remember the Lord's sacrifice on the cross, is to prepare us for the day of judgment. So if doing the will of the Father in heaven, if doing the will of the Father, if that's what is required to enter into heaven, shouldn't we find out what exactly His will is? Shouldn't we do everything we can to know about His will? Well, let's talk about what will is. What is a will? Well, there are some simple definitions about what a will is. Someone's will is their desire, it is their wishes. You know, this is what I want you to do. This is what I command you to carry out. It is a strong determination to do something. We talk about someone who wants to, they want to lose weight, they want to quit smoking, they want to do whatever. What does it say it takes? It takes willpower. You've got to want it. You've got to desire it. Do you have that desire to go to heaven? You know, we see someone that says, "Oh, I wish I could lose weight." Guess what, then? But they struggle with it. It's like, "Oh, why do I struggle?" It's because you don't want it bad enough. You don't desire it bad enough. Do you desire to go to heaven? Are you willing to do anything, doing everything it takes so you will be there? Remember, the Bible says, make your election sure. Are you doing that? And a will, of course, is also a legal document with instructions that are to be carried out. We think about that as, you know, someone's last will and testament. You know, when my parents, when they pass away, they have their will, and there's instructions that have to be carried out. Well, Jesus Christ, we need to remember with Him, Jesus was submissive to the Father's will. We read in Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26 and verse 42. When Jesus was praying in the garden before His arrest, before the certain death He would face, it says in Matthew 26 and verse 42, "And a second time He went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, Your will be done.'" Jesus was 100% human. Jesus had the fear, the anxiety of facing death, of facing the pain. He knew He would be beaten. And not just because He was the Son of God. He knew He'd be beaten because He was man. He knew what happened to criminals. He knew what the Romans did to those they arrested. But He was submissive. This is the will of the Father. I am going to do it. He sought to do God's will. In John, the 5th chapter, John, the 5th chapter, verse 30, He says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Remember what He said to His parents when, you know, they left Jerusalem and they journeyed for 3 days and they couldn't find Him? He was just a boy of 12 years old. And they found him in the temple. And what did he say? I must be about my Father's business. He must be about his Father's will, about doing the work that his Father set for him to do. He was submissive to it. He sought to do it. And he wants us to learn it. A few pages over, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak from my own authority." Well, certainly, we know Jesus was submissive to God in all things. And just like a last will and testament, just like it goes into force when someone dies, the will of Christ went into effect when he died. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." You know, while my father, while he is still alive, the possessions that he has here in this world, they're his to do with, whatever he wants to. Now, there's certain parts of certain things of his estate I know that he's told me that I will inherit. But really, until he passes away, you know, they could still be anything. So in Christ's death, his will was complete. It was put into effect. Verse 17, "For testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." Christ was our perfect example for submitting to the will of God. Because he did that, he set forth a will that we must also follow. What is our responsibility to his will? Well, ultimately is we need to learn it. We need to learn what his will is. My father has given me instructions. You know, when he passes away, I know exactly where the papers are kept at his house. And my brother and I, we are to go there when that's done. We're not going to just sit around like, "Oh, okay, I want this and I want that." No, the instructions are there. Instructions are here for us. Psalm 143 and verse 10. Psalm 143, verse 10. "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God, your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." And the Bible talks about David being a man of God, man after God's heart. He loved the will of God. He desired to do it. I don't know whether or not David wrote this psalm in particular, but he did write most of them. But we see throughout the book of Psalms how much there was the desire to do God's will. In Psalm 40 and verse 8, Psalm 40 and verse 8 says, "I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart." We should be happy in serving God. And you know, we talked in our Bible class this morning that Joe led us in. You know, we talked about how husbands are to love their wives. Husbands are to render the affection that is due to them. But just like, you know, when, you know, we are told to give of our means on the first day of the week, like we will here in a few moments, our heart has to be in it. We can't give it grudgingly. We can't get up on Sunday morning and say, oh, I got to go to church. Is God happy with that attitude? Our attitude should be one that is delightful to do His will. Remember David said, I was happy when they said, let us go down to the house of the Lord. Were you that way this morning? Were you happy to be here? Happy to see your brothers and sisters in Christ? Happy to worship God? We should delight and do His will. His commandments are not burdensome. They're easy for us to do. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6 says, as bondservants of Christ, doing the will from the heart. It's got to mean something. We can't just go through the motions. We need to understand why we do each and everything we do. We are to submit to the will of God. In James chapter 4, James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Think about it. When we are tempted to sin, when we do sin, what has happened to us? We've stopped submitting to God, haven't we? We've stopped resisting evil. Therefore, the devil doesn't flee from us. In fact, we really the opposite. We flee to him. The Bible says he will flee from us if we submit to God. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. You know, there is no joy in sin. What, you know, think about this. What do you see every time you turn on the TV and there's a beer commercial? Do you see anyone miserable? No, it looks like everybody's happy, having a good time. I grew up in the home of an alcoholic. I tell you what, there's not very many good times. We need to look our sinful selves and remember we are God's children. We are to be submissive to His will. And when we are not submissive, we should be ashamed of ourselves. Now, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about how the men of the time, they don't blush. They're not embarrassed by it. You know, I don't know the sins that each of you struggle with. But I know you would be embarrassed for me to know. Just like I would be embarrassed for you to know of what I struggle with. It's shameful. We should lament about it. In verse 10 there, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. The will of God. Our responsibility to the will of God means we must prove it. We must prove it over and over that His way, this is right. Romans 12 and verse 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Do we do that? Our mind should be transformed. It should be changed. We shouldn't live the way worldly people live. Yes, people are going to think we're strange. Yes, people are going to make fun of us. Yes, people are going to persecute us. We got to prove that perfect will of God. I was having dinner with some friends from work. And a question was asked, because you know, so when we were taking a drink order, I just ordered a glass of water. And, you know, we were dining on the boss's dime. We could get anything we wanted to. I said, no, just have a glass of water. He goes, well, why don't you drink, Brian? Because that's not in the will of God. And this person tried to defend it and everything else. I'm like, no, it's not in the will of God. For me to consume alcohol, it is not in the will of God. That's what, it's not one of those, I didn't say, oh, I just don't drink. No, I made it known it's something I do not do. I don't want to do that. Just by the way we live our lives can prove that will of God. In Galatians, the first chapter, Paul, he writes that he's amazed that these people are turning away from the will of God. They've been given this perfect will of God. They believe it. They've submitted to it. But now, they're no longer being submissive. They're turning away from it. Well, remember, who's going to go to heaven? Those who do the will of the Father, right? But their hearts have changed. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Think about our parents. You know, parents are, or now I'm a parent now, so I do the same thing. It's like, how many times do I got to tell my kids this something for it to get nailed into their head? You know, we got to say it more and more, don't we? You got to say it more twice. But something, notice here he says it twice, back to back. This is extremely important. Reject those who are teaching a different will. It's like, oh, well, he just has a different understanding. I'll let him listen. I'll listen to him for a little bit. The Bible says, reject it. Reject false teachers. If they do not bring you this perfect will of God, we have no business listening to it. It needs to be rejected. It needs to be proved. We can go back to the Scriptures and show what this perfect will of God is. In 2 John, 2 John verses 9 through 11. 2 John 9 through 11. It says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him in your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, I will tell you this. When the Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on my door, I invite them into my home. It's like, come on. That's, you know, they're probably like, wait a minute. They're used to getting the door slammed in their face. Okay? Here's someone who's showing hospitality. I do. If it's a hot day, I'll offer them something to drink too. But we'll get out the Bible and we'll study. And a lot of times, the conversation will end when I ask them this question. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you know what they'll say? No. They will absolutely say no. Because they think man will inherit the earth. Which we know the Bible teaches this earth is going to be burned up. That it's going to be destroyed. And I usually, if you do not want to go to heaven, I do not want to talk to you. Because I want to go to heaven. I'm seeking to do the will of my Father. I hope that they can look at the Bible with an honest heart and seek to do what His will is. His will, it is simple. We just got to read it. We just got to follow along with it. Don't make it more complicated than it has it, because it's not complicated. What is the will of God? The will of God is that all men come to repentance. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We look at the sinfulness of the world around us, and we kind of wonder, wow, God, why hasn't your patience worn out? Or maybe we're like, we're suffering in this world, like, please, come now. Perhaps we're like John, who said, Lord, come quickly. Because the promises are great. What is God waiting on? He is waiting for all men to come to repentance. We should all be grateful for every new day that we are given, because that is another day that we, another opportunity we have to repent before God. You ever think of it that way? Yes, I may be baptized into Christ, but I sin, and I fall short of His glory. I'm grateful that I have another opportunity to do it right. Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He wants us to learn His will. It's available. It's there. For those of us that are mature in Christ, we should be teaching it. For those that are babes in Christ, be like the Ethiopian eunuch who asked Philip, "I need someone to teach me this." And if you've not been united with Christ in baptism, then you must all then learn what must be done. The Bible says that we should believe in Him, Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Are you diligently seeking God? Mentioned earlier when Joseph and Mary were separated from their son Jesus, it says they were diligent to seek Him. If you, one of your kids had been missing for 3 days, how would you be looking for him? Would you be like, "Oh, they'll come back around here sometime"? No. You would stop everything in your life to find your child. And do you have that importance in your life? To diligently seek the Lord and to believe in Him. Acts 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30 tells us, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." God is a forgiving God. He wants everyone to repent. To be sorry for the things they've done against His will, and to be submissive. Change your life to do His will. That we must live a life that confesses God. Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." There's a lot of people that firmly believe in this verse. We should, because it's the truth. If you believe that Jesus, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth, you will be saved. I want you to think about this. Confess with your mouth and believe. Two things that must be done. Confession and belief. Can you be saved without either one of them? I could probably go ask anyone. Say, "Well, can you confess that Jesus is Christ, but you don't believe it without saving?" Well, no, your faith's not real. "Well, can you believe in it and not confess?" It's like, well, no, you got to believe. You got to let it be known that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So when it comes to Mark 16 and verse 16, who says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved," well, now people have a problem with that. But they go together, don't they? As belief and confession go together, so does belief and baptism. It goes together as well. The second half of Mark 16 and verse 16 does not need to be in the Bible. Okay? Because it's already stated in the first half. Remember we talked about saying things twice? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. That's enough right there, isn't it? But he who does not believe will be condemned. Well, it doesn't say anything about not being baptized. So you can still be saved without being baptized. No, the Bible says he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. You try to explain that to someone, what is the usual response that you get? Well, I don't believe that. Okay, now here's where the second part of Mark 16:16 is important. Oh, well, you don't believe that? Well, it says, if you don't believe, you're condemned. Acts 10, verse 48. Acts 10, verse 48 says, he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That means by the authority of God. Baptized, you know, he's not saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is not a magic word that must be said before someone is immersed. No, that means it's done by the authority, by the will of God. If we do these things, then our will, the will of God continues. We are to keep His commandments. 1 John 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. Never ask you to do anything difficult. 2 John chapter 6, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You should keep doing it. There are some folks that believe that pretty much just all you do is be baptized and then just go to church every day and you're fine. No, we continue to do His will. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices. As it was for the priests of the Old Testament. We are the royal priesthood today, the chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 says, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If we go back to the book of Leviticus and we see everything that had to be done in order for a sacrifice to be acceptable before God, well, there was quite a bit, wasn't there? There was quite a bit of things. It had to be done a certain procedure. It had to be done in a certain order. It had to be done in a certain way. And then Nadab and Abihu, who took fire from a profane source, from an unauthorized source, it cost them their souls. God is serious about it. So we must worship Him. We must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verses 23 through 24. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Must means it's not optional. It means it is required. We are required to do His will. We are required to do good to all, Galatians 6 and verse 10. So therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Brethren, you know, as my family has been new here, we are so grateful for so many of you over the kindness you have shown us. I hope you show the same kindness towards those who are outside of Christ. That's what we should be doing. And we should keep ourselves unspotted. James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. If we will do this, if we will do these things, then we can hear on the day of judgment, "Well done, that good and faithful servant. Enter in." We are to be submissive. We are to be submissive all the way to the point of death, as Christ was. Mark 14, verses 35 and 36, "He went a little further, and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, 'Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will.'" I want to teach you a little parable here before we close. I want you to think about this here. A man inherits a piece of land from his father. His father left behind instructions of what the son should do with this land. And he said, "My son, I leave you this plot of land. If you carry out my instructions, it will benefit you for years to come. First, dig yourself a stock tank in the middle of the land, just north of the road." The son surveyed the land and said, "This is the perfect place for a stock tank." The father then said, "Next, you need to dig yourself a well near the west end of the road." And again, the son said to himself, "This is the perfect place for a well." Father's next instructions were, "Build yourself a barn near the entrance of the property, near on the west side of the road." The son thought, "This is the perfect place for a barn." Then the father instructed his son, says, "Build a pasture in the southeastern corner of the land for your livestock to graze." The son said, "This is the perfect place for a pasture." Then the father said in his will, and it stated, "Plant yourself a garden in the northwest corner of the property." Again, the son said to himself, "This is the perfect place for a garden." Finally, the father's will commanded the son, "Build yourself a home in the northeast corner of the land." The son looked over the land and said, "This land is very rocky, and it's very difficult to construct a house. And besides, it's very far away from my barn and the water and the main road. The southwestern corner is a much nicer place, because it is near those things and has better land and will be among the beauty and shade of the trees. I will build my house there." So I ask you this question. In which of these things did he carry out his father's will? I want you to raise your hand and I'm going to ask you this question. Did he carry out his father's will when he put the tank in? Did he carry out his father's will when he put in the well? Did he carry out his father's will when he built the barn? Did he carry out his father's will when he built the pasture? Did he carry out his father's will when he plowed the field? Did he carry out his father's will when it came time to build the house? Okay. I'm going to tell you, none of these things did he carry out the Father's will. Now here's why. He only did those things according to his Father's will because he thought it was good. When his father said, "Plant the pasture here," he said, "This is the perfect place for the pasture." But when it came time to build the house, he had a better idea. He wasn't submissive to his father's will at all. Because every time he did what was right in his own mind. Brethren, that is a trap so many of us get into. We think we know what is right. We think we know what God wants. But it doesn't matter what we think. It absolutely does not matter what we think. His will is perfect. I've mentioned about my own father's will. And my father, he's in a motorcycle club. And one of the things in his will is he wants to be buried in his motorcycle club shirt. Okay. Kind of strange. You know, usually they're wearing a suit or whatever, but that's something that he wants. Is it ridiculous? Maybe so. Is he going to know the difference? No. I remember showing my mother, that. Now, mom and dad are divorced, so it's, so she doesn't know the things I do. But I remember telling my mother that, and she kind of smirked, like, And I told her, I'm going to do it. I don't care how ridiculous it sounds. I'm going to do it. Why? Because that is my father's will. It's not about being submissive to him. It's about being submissive to God. And so, well, why did you bury him in that? Because that's what his will was. My job here is to do my Father's will. Ultimately, my Heavenly Father's will. It's going to be an opportunity to teach people. We are to be submissive unto death. And we are to lose our life for Christ. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 38 and 39, says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." When Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, it does not mean you need to wear a cross necklace or a cross earring or get a tattoo of a cross on you. When it means take up your cross, it means you be willing to die. If the most popular way of execution at that time was to hang someone, he'd say, take up your noose. Be willing to die for him. Lose everything. If everything in your life, everyone in your life is going to go the way of the world, let them go. You follow him. And as we started this lesson, we will close with this verse here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The lesson is yours this morning. How bad do you want to go to heaven? Are you willing to do everything it takes to go to heaven? As we close our service, as we start to end our service, we offer the Lord's invitation. It is an opportunity to, if you have not started your life with Christ, make that known that you want to do so. Repent of your sins, confess of His name, to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and die to yourself. No longer what I think is right. What does God know is right? What God knows is right. Do we struggle with it? We do. We absolutely do struggle with it. And it's things I struggle with every day. Well, maybe what I struggle with is not the same as you. But we can help each other out. We can bear each other's burdens. And the fervent power of prayer avails much when the righteous pray together. So if you are not walking, you haven't been submissive to the will as you should, then indeed we want to give you this opportunity to make things right with Christ. Are you submissive to His will? Are you ready to submit to His will? If so, if we can be of any assistance to you this morning, would you please come forward while we stand and sing.